But praise God. Woody, we're glad to have you with us. Would you welcome Woody Woodson?
You're loving Jesus tonight. Come on, let's praise him. Let's just worship him for just, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, what a privilege to meet with you. What a privilege to be loved by you. What a privilege to be known by you. And what a privilege to know you. There's nothing like your manifest presence. There's nothing like your glory. There's nothing like it when we get around you, God. Because your presence causes everything that's not of you to be removed. And your presence opens us up to receive everything that is of you. And that's what it's all about. Because his anointing will destroy every burden. Come on. It will destroy every yoke. It removes every burden. And it opens you up. So literally, when God's presence comes in, it does two things. It unloads you and then loads you. It unloads everything on your life that's not of God. And then he loads you with his benefits. Come on now. So we're going to get unloaded and we're going to get loaded tonight. Come on. I used to get loaded in the world, but that wasn't a good thing. I don't know about you. I am in such awe of God now. I mean, we've had things that you have to almost be a believer to believe. Because, we just recently had a meeting with a girl came and she'd never been to church before. She was unsaved. So I preached that day, and she was in the back. It's a Catholic church. It's no longer a Catholic church, but we bought a Catholic church, one of the churches I work with. And she's way in the back, and it's a church that seats about 3,000 people. So when I gave the altar call for salvation, she came up. I didn't know it was her 26th birthday. And on the way up there, I noticed she was dragging the right side of her body. So I found out later that she had been in a terrible motorcycle accident, and they said she would never have use of that side. So she's coming up to get saved, and as she's walking up, I heard everything begin to pop in her. And literally, she went from being a cripple to totally made whole. And then she received Jesus. She had a good birthday. She had a good birthday. I mean, when God shows up, he gives good gifts, good gifts, good gifts. Come on now. So every day can be a birthday. Every day, come on. Every day can be your birthday because God wants to give gifts to you every day. Come on. Is that okay? I didn't know it is. You know, I was thinking about this morning, and, I was thinking one of the things that have jumped on me in Scripture was the story of Mordecai and Haman. And we know Haman was an enemy of the Jewish people, that he literally was setting Mordecai up, even built the gallows. And what God said prophetically is there's been a lot of gallows being built. And looks like it's all been set up to take something down, but they don't know that they're going to hang themselves on it. Come on now. The judgment day is coming. Because God always has the final word. He always does. I don't care what it is. He'll always give people time to repent. But there comes a time when time is, if they're going, what I found out with God is when you touch his anointed, then you basically try to stop his kingdom. And it says don't harm it, do my prophets no harm. When people touch his anointed, automatically there's a retribution that begins in the process of God. Because he has to stop that which is trying to stop his will from being done on earth. Amen. We're going to see some things. You know, what I love about the glory of God, I love the positives in the glory of God, but there are negatives. The negative is if you're on the wrong side of the glory, you're in trouble. Because honestly, when the glory comes, blessing comes, and when the glory comes, judgment comes. Everything's intensified. You can ask Ananias and Sapphira. Come on now. It just makes sense. We've had an interesting thing since I've been here. My mother-in-law went home to be with the Lord, and she was 95. Don't feel sorry for her. I always think of young people, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, why? Come on. I never am sorry for when a Christian dies. I am sorry for some of the people that hurt and grieve. But you know, honestly, it's a celebration. You know? But we believe two things before, the last 15 years of her life. We believe she'd live well into her 90s, and she was 95. And we believe she would not have to go into a nursing home, and she never did. But what had happened, she had a fall. And the reason I'm saying this is she gave me such good preaching material because of the drug she took, I think. Because the doctors gave her some drugs, and she started hallucinating. Now, I was actually in Maine at the time, so my wife had to tell me. She said, you know, she said, tonight, she said, my mom said, there's two men here to take me through the door. And she said, I'm going to my wedding. And she looked at my wife and said, you can't come yet. It's not your time. It's not your time. So, you know, I thought, whoa. And then when she said, you're going to my wedding, I had a friend in Maine that preached there for years, and he actually moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And while I was preaching in Maine in February, he calls up the house I'm at. And again, he's in pain, so they give him drugs. There's something about these drugs, you know. I mean, these drugs give you preaching material. I said, give him more. But he talks to me, and he said, are you going to my wedding on Saturday? And he'd been married for 55 years. So I thought that was kind of weird. I thought, well, it's got to be the drugs. Well, Saturday is when he went home to be with the Lord. But yeah, in the midst of saying that, Pam's mom also grabbed hold of my wife, actually was beginning to shake her, and she said, I see thousands and thousands of people in an open field, and they can't find the door. They can't find the door. You have to show them the door. Please show them the door. You have to show them the door. And I believe that's where we are. There's multitudes in a valley of decision. Come on, that's why there's a wake-up call for war. It's in the same passage in Joel chapter 3 where it says, wake up the mighty men for war. And it talks about it's harvest time. And that's honestly, it's time for the church. We got to get into a harvesting mode. Come on. Because literally, when there's a shaking, there's a lot of times shaking actually shakes people in. Come on. Shakes people. Whichever way you're leaning, you get shaken. Let's go to John chapter 10. I'm going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to have enough fun for all of you. You know, I'll guarantee you this, because God's doing something, man. He is absolutely in the midst of a mess, in the midst of chaos. You guys can pray for me. I actually did a TV taping in Buffalo, New York, and it's by a guy that used to be one of the head dudes at PBS, but now is saved, you know. And they're doing a documentary that's going to be aired in 120 countries. And the documentary is World in Crisis, What is the Church's Obligation? We had some fun. Because we are the answer. But John 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to have life, that you may have life and life more abundantly. We're about ready to get into abundance like never before. That really there is going to be a dividing line between the children of the devil and the children of God. That God literally, we're going to see the things that hit them aren't going to hit us. You know, up until this point, you see in the first five plagues of when they were in Egypt, it hit both. Because the Israelites weren't right with God yet. So a lot of times we get residue of curses because the church is not right yet. Come on. You know? But when they made the shift, God said, I'm gonna make a distinction. And God said, I'm going to make a distinction. And there's a distinction that's coming like never before. See, God can make a distinction in times of famine where you can plant in times of famine and get a hundredfold return. When it's not producing for anybody else, but it produces for you. Come on. I believe God's going to make a distinction. And it's because of his presence that he is. See, you know, I started thinking about last day's messages, and we know they're, you know, three of the main ones I know is the kingdom of God's number one. Because this gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 24:14 has to be preached in all the world, then the end should come. We know faith is always going to be an end time message because Luke 18:8 says when the Son of Man returns, we find faith on the earth. But, you know, one message that the church isn't preaching enough is the glory of God. Because in Ephesians 5:27, he says he's coming back for a glorious church. You know, Habakkuk 2:14, it says the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. When people ask me, they say, everything that's wrong is for the glory of God. It's fixed by the glory. He's the ultimate fixer. That's what fixes it. The presence of God fixes everything. See, he's the ultimate fixer. The only one who can fix this nation is the manifest presence of God. It's not a God that's out there somewhere. It's a God showing. Come on, it's manifesting. When the kingdom is manifest, people get healed. When the kingdom is manifest, there's miracles happen. Good things always happen when God shows up. Come on. Now, he's everywhere, but he's not always showing. But when he's showing, watch out. And he's about ready to show. He said, I'm about ready to show like I've never showed before. I'm about ready to show. And he said, the church is going to wake up to the glory they already got. You know, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I began to think about all the things. If we honestly believed Jesus' prayers, we'd be okay. But we don't seem, you know, we even have problems when he said, Lord, make them one as we are one in John 17. And we really have problems with the fact when he said, Lord, don't take them out of the world. Because 90% of the church, they want the rapture before they win. Yeah. They want to defeat this rapture. Yeah. Come on now, just get us out of this defeat. Right. Come on. And marriage supper of the Lamb is not consolation dinner. There's not a bunch of little losers going around, like, hey, this is where the devil kicked me. Well, anyway. You know, there's a reality, you know. God said, hey, when you win, when the enemy becomes a footstool, then I'll return. Come on. And Jesus prayed, don't take them out of the world. He said, but keep them from the evil one. Come on. You know, we're saying, oh, come on, Lord, get me out of here. God said, don't. And Jesus said, don't do it. Don't do it. Remember my prayer. Don't do it. Because people are going to believe through their word. The people are going to believe through their testimony. They have to be here. They're the salt of the earth. I can't allow the earth to have no salt. Come on. So you see that. And then he goes on to say, I believe in John 17:21, he says, Father, the glory you gave me, I give them the same glory. The same glory. Well, whatever. I believe when it says arise and shine, it means wake up to the glory. Wake up to the glory of God. Wake up. Wake up. Put on the armor. Wake up. The whole earth is waiting. The whole earth is in travail until we wake up. The whole earth. Everybody's waiting for the church to be the church. Heaven's waiting for the church to be the church. Many of the lost are waiting for the church to be the church so they can join the church being the church instead of what's here. Come on. Because it says, arise and shine in Isaiah 60, verse 1, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord's risen upon you. Then it says that because you're shining, that your sons and daughters will be drawn from distances, from afar. It says, they'll come. What I found out is when the glory of God comes, you know, I just came back from upstate New York, and I actually came in right after Mario shut down. We took over, you know, and in this, about the same location. And, you know, it was just the way God orchestrated it. But what we noticed about that is, you know, we had no problem drawing people then. Because God's manifest presence, people were coming from every direction. See, people want him. They want him. They don't want religion. They don't want the silliness. And many of them are just fed up. And many of them, it's okay to know God's kind of fed up too. That's all right, you know. He's not happy. He sits in heaven and laughs, but he's not happy with everything going on here. You got to be kidding. He's looking and saying, oh, we're going to have to deal with that one. You know, we won't even, no, I won't touch some of these things. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to try to be as nice as I possibly can be, but there's the same glory. What would happen if we began to reflect it? I mean, what would happen if the church just came alive? I know. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as you behold his glory, you're changed. That's what changes you. See, I believe we're coming into a season where God's glory is not subservient to anything. So when his glory comes in, his rule comes in. Come on. So the church can't rule without glory. They can't. They can't rule without glory. Without the manifest presence of God, we are nothing. We can't rebuild ruined cities unless the Spirit of the Lord's upon us. He's anointed us. That's how you heal. That's how you get beauty out of ashes. The glory actually puts it back together. Better than it was when it was torn apart. See, I believe this nation at least has a season where it will be better than it ever was. And there are a lot of people preaching, well, the world's going to get worse and worse, but the church is going to get brighter and brighter. And if we were getting brighter and brighter, we're going to literally drive out the darkness. We're going to take over. The whole message of the kingdom is we don't fit in, we take over. That's what it is. And when God shows up, he's over everything. I mean, there have been times, you know, he's not opposed to a fight. He's never lost one. Well, so I guess he purposely allowed Jacob to win. Yeah, I mean, Jacob held on to him, prevailed. Well, what prevailed was his faith. He needed to change. God needed him to change. So he said, hey, I'm gonna let you win. I'm not losing, but I'm letting you win. Come on, there's a difference. You know? And you see that. You see many times we're wrestling with things, so we get in the presence of God. The fight's over. When God shows up, the fight's over. You know, Elijah wasn't afraid of the prophets of Baal. He actually called them out.
Yeah, it's true.
And you think about it, there were 4,000 of them, one of him. Didn't look like the odds were good, but and they weren't for them. Yeah, they weren't. See, what things appear to be are not the way they are. Come on now. I mean, people are not understanding. God's always working. We sang that. He's always working. When you can't see it, he's working. When it looks like you're losing, he's just working victory in. When it looks like everything's going wrong, he's turning it and working it for good. He's always working on your behalf. He's always moving things. You know? And when you start getting that in your spirit, you kind of get excited. Because even the shaking works for you, not against you. You know, Haggai chapter 2, it's one of the chapters I read every day this year. Another is Ezekiel 37. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 also. I got like 4 or 5 I read every day. There are things God said. You read it every day. I do. But Haggai talks about the latter glory being greater than the former. He said, once again, I'm going to shake heaven, I'm going to shake earth. And he said, in the midst of that, he said, the silver's mine, the gold's mine. So he said, this shaking is literally going to shake the stuff out of the hands of the enemy back into my kids' hands. So what a lot of people are looking at as disaster is just a transfer. Come on, you got to see that. I mean, when Joseph was in charge, it was a tough time going around, you know, in Egypt. If not, he never would have gotten out of prison. His gift was needed. In the midst of shaking, everything shook through his hands. Come on. See, something's about ready to transpire. We've got to begin to see that he wants to train us in reigning finally. He wants to teach us how to rule and how, you know, how to speak, how to act. He wants to teach us the ways of royalty. You know, the problem is most of us have such a servant mentality, we've never learned how to be a son of God. Because servants don't demand anything. And yet the whole Lord's Prayer is to a son. Our Father starts off that. He said, hey, this is prayers, a prayer that a son prays, not a servant. Our Father, come on. And if you don't understand it, it's a commanding prayer. It's even commanding God in a sense, because God literally says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He said, literally, I want you to command the works of my hand. I really want you to put a demand that I do what I say I'm going to do, and I manifest what I say I'm going to manifest. That doesn't upset God. It thrills him. But you, until you're a son, you don't have that type of boldness. Because servants don't even have a clue what the master's doing. That's what the scripture says. And most of the church is clueless, because they're operating as servants instead of sons. And because of that, they're not experiencing glory, because the glory has to do with the family. Come on now. Family relationships. Servants may have a residue of glory, just like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law had some glory. But the new message that brought us into relationship as sons and daughters exceeds in glory. Come on now. And we're about ready to get into a place of exceeding glory. Exceeding glory. Exceeding glory. God said, I'm going to do exceedingly above. But he said, until you understand that you're sons and daughters, I'm limited. Because you're acting like a servant instead of a son. And because of that, I can only give you what servants have. But the moment you grow up into sonship, I can release what I've been wanting to release in the fullness of your life. Come on. See, this is just all throughout Scripture. There's a shift going on. There's a shift in our mentality. There's a shift where, honestly, you know, I mentioned, I think the last time when I spent some time with Jesse Duplantis preaching. And one of the things I got out of that was the story of how he got his first jet. And he, you know, And I literally went there because I was stuck in a good place. Now, when you're stuck in a good place, you know a good place is where God used to be. And there's still a residue of his goodness. But it's no longer glorious. It's just good. And I recognize, God, I'm stuck. And if you don't unstick me, I'm going to be in danger of not being at a cutting-edge level with you where you're going. I'll be stuck back here when you're over here. And I need something. So I put a demand. Sometimes you go to church and it'd be nice to have a word. But there are times you need one. And I do both. I mean, there are times I said, God, and when I was going, because I hang out with the speakers at these conferences, I said, Lord, I got to get a word from you. I need a word right now. And it's not that we're good, we're bad. If most people looked at our life, they'd become, most people are envious. God blessed life. But you know, I'm one of those people, I don't like being stuck. And I realized something was taking place. So I put a demand on it. And then I went there and met with Jesse before the service. And what he preached a great message, but one mine. So people said, how was it? I said, it was good. And they said, that's one of the best things I ever heard. I said, yeah, it's probably for you. You know, I mean, I got good notes. I'm not knocking. I love Jesse. It was a really good message. It just wasn't what I came for. And I'm one of those, I'm stubborn. I said, Lord. So we went back to the pastor's office and it was getting late. And Jesse said, well, I got to leave now. And he looked at us. He said, you want to see my new jet? Well, I said, yeah. Because most of my friends don't have jets. If they have jets, they're in the jacuzzi. Come on now. But he actually has one that flies, man. flying jacuzzi, that'd be cool. So he took me out to his new jet, and it was beautiful. But he said, on the way, he said, you want to know how I got this jet? And he got my interest. And he told a story that was what I needed to hear. He said he was on the way to a meeting. He said he was in an old beat-up car. He said he barely could afford the gas in the car. And he said a jet flew overhead. The Lord said, you can have one of those. And he laughed out loud. He said, I can't even afford the gas in this car. And the Lord said, pull over. There was an open field. So he pulled over. So I found out something about God. If you'll obey, he'll speak to you. Especially when it seems really stupid. I'll be honest, if it's really stupid, usually God. Yeah, it's just the way it is, because he wants us to understand that, his simple childlike obedience. And so he pulled off the highway, got in the open field, got on his knees, and God told him, he said, I must tell you something that will change your life forever. He put his hands up, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't say you had to pay for it. And and the moment he said that to me, I already knew the same revelation he got back then. And I already knew it to a degree, but I got trapped. I got trapped into what I could do. I felt like I had to pay for it. Some of you feel like you have to pay for your miracle, or you have to do a certain thing in order to get it. And you're going to have to help God out or and all this stuff, And the moment he said that, I said, God, forgive me. Because when you live off your earnings, you live poor. When you live off your inheritance, you live rich. That's why Ephesians 1:18 says, open our eyes that we may see the inheritance of the glory, the inheritance that's in the glory. How many people understand God meets your need according to his riches in glory? Everything he does is attached to glory. You got to understand that. Come on. So the moment I saw that, I said, God, I've been living off my earnings instead of my inheritance. So I started making a shift. And that's when Jesse said to me, he said, you can have a jet. I said, I don't need one. You got one. I'll borrow yours. I'll borrow your pilot, too. But I said, I kind of like to have a Christian campground. I've said that for a couple of years, but I never really totally voiced it because I knew how much it would cost. But since I didn't have to pay for it. See, if you don't have to pay for it, you can ask big. I have no problem spending other people's money. Come on now. That's why I always tell people, you can tell if you're an owner or a steward. Whatever you own is cursed. Whatever God owns is blessed. That's why he said, give it all to me. It's all mine. It's all mine. It's all mine. And how do you know if you're an owner or a steward? When God asks you to give something, you have no problem giving away other people's stuff. The reason you're having a problem is it's yours, which means there's a curse attached to it. Come on. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. So you see this type of thing. And so I said, God, I would like to have a Christian campground. Well, I've got a lot of churches I'm on the board of, I oversee. And it was like 3 weeks later, a pastor called me up from Maine. He says, you won't believe this, but someone gave us 30 acres of prime property overlooking one of the prettiest lakes in Maine. And there's already a building on it. Now, we're probably going to tear it down. But they also have a full gymnasium. We won't tear that down. It's actually in pretty good shape. But, and he said, you won't believe where it's located. He said, you have to go up Mount Zion's Hill Road. I mean, how set up? What a setup. You have to ascend Mount Zion to get to the property. It sits right on top of Mount Zion's Hill Road. So we were calling the building there Glory Tabernacle. So literally, it's a place. In fact, we just had 21 days of glory up there. You know? And we're setting up as a Christian campground. Things, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you don't know your son and daughter. Come on. I had no problem asking my dad for anything. I had no problem. My dad was rich, even in the natural. I had no problem. In fact, honestly, I probably should have taken more advantage of it. You know? I don't ever remember him saying no, except for if it was really stupid. But if it was anything, I mean, so yeah, because and I'm not all that, you know. But I don't go overboard, but maybe I should have. But all of a sudden, I began to realize so many people have a relationship with their father that they see themselves as servants. So they're all eating off the crumbs instead of eating at the table. They don't understand that honestly, they can ask big because he's got big pockets. So we got this little box of what we can do. And we've been stuck in it for years. And it's time to blow the box off, the lid off, and come on out. Because the whole earth is waiting for us to emerge. Come on, as the victorious church. Come on, the glorious church. As one that actually reflects the presence of God. And you know, God wants to give us a revelation. When we walk in the room, it's just like Jesus himself. The same spirit, the same anointing, the same works. I was going to a meeting I just finished in Buffalo, New York, and we've had so many amazing things happen there. You know, 4 years ago, we had four stage 4 cancer patients healed. Still healed today, no remission. To such a degree that I've actually spent time at the hospital there training the doctors on how to pray for the sick. So, that's pretty amazing stuff. But about 3 years ago, the pastor of the church I was going to, the former pastor, was younger than I was, but he was in the hospital. They gave him no chance of living. And I'm about ready to do a healing service, and the guy over there said, you want to do a visit? The family's all in. They're going to say their goodbyes. He said, do you want to go see him? Do you want to say a prayer? Let's give God one more shot. And I said, that's fine. And we were in a hurry. And we got there. At first, they wouldn't let us in. And finally, they said, okay, you can go in the ICU. The guy had been in a coma for what? 45 straight days. They said, no chance. There's no chance he's going. I walked in there. And the moment I walked in there, I walked in with the new pastor of the church there. He's been a pastor for about 3 or 4 years now. But I walked in with him. As soon as I walked in the room, this guy sits up and starts talking. As soon. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to pray. I would love to say it was my prayer. I would love to say that. But I honestly believe when you carry the glory of God, when you carry the presence of God, something good happens. I mean, there's a residue of that just rubs off on people. Some of them will be drawn to you, and they don't even know why they're drawn. They just love it. And what I found out about God is he's not afraid to show his glory. But he wants to do it through the church. We were doing the meeting in Greenwich, Connecticut. Open air meeting. Healing service. And Greenwich, Connecticut is one of the wealthier communities in the United States. Very prestigious. But we had a permit to do a meeting in the park there. But they said we can't keep other groups from being there. It's a public park. But you can at least have that area you're in, and we'll even let you set up your sound booths and everything. And I remember we were doing the meeting there, and these bikers show up. Now, they're on the other side of the park, over on the other side of the fence, and they start yelling at us, cussing at us, the whole thing. Welcome to ministry. And they're threatening us, and they got Harleys. They look pretty cool. I preached in Sturgis one time. I'll never forget preaching in Sturgis because I'm under a tent. All the time I'm preaching, fights are breaking out everywhere. It was the coolest thing I ever saw in my life. I'm there preaching, and it's like they're going at each other. It's like a lot of church board meetings. No, just... But here I am, back to Greenwich. Here I am, and they're challenging. I heard the Lord say, are you going to take that? Because the righteous are bold as a lion. I said, what? He said, show them my power. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay. May I? So I got up there, and they're screaming these obscenities, and I pointed my finger at them, and basically I said, you punks. I said, you are really brave on the other side of that fence. I said, you don't know what power you are messing with. And they're cussing me out. The Lord said, show them. I said, how? He said, tell them you're going to wave your hand and they'll realize. He said, the moment you wave, they'll know that I'm God. I said, I'm about ready to wave my hand. They're all on their bikes. There are about 20 bikers. And I said, you about ready to know he's God. I said, I'm going to wave my hand, and they're laughing. They're making fun of me. I waved my hand. I had 20 bikes go down. At the same time, they're collapsed everywhere. They're laid on the ground. I said, whoa, baby. And this is so much fun because this is a public setting. It's a, you think you're tough. And about 17 of the bikers, as soon as they could get up, they got on their bike and they just sped off. Well, three of them stayed back and got saved. And, I believe God, our problem is that unless the church arises, we can't release them. See, God, he needed my wave. I hate to say that. He needed my wave. He actually needed my big mouth. He needed my big mouth, and he needed my wave. He did the rest. Come on. Well, I got a big mouth and I can wave. So, hey, I can operate in the glory of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And many of you, you have hands, you can lay them on the sick. Then God can heal. But if you're not willing to lay them on the sick, they're not going to get healed. See, that is where the glory comes. You begin to realize, hey, I'm carrying something. You know, I'm a super spreader. I tell people, I say, you better stay away. You're going to catch this Jesus bug. It'll change your life forever. How many of you understand one moment in the glory changes everything? I started thinking about Peter. Now, Peter was a tough old fisherman. You know, his mouth didn't totally get sanctified when he got saved. It didn't, man. At least we found out when he denied them, at least. And you know, that his cussing mouth didn't stop him from preaching 50 days later the first sermon. Who am I going to pick? Hey, let's pick the guy that cut off a dude's ear and cussed up a storm. That is my, let's start the church there. You wonder why we got some problems. But when Jesus walked by Peter in Matthew chapter 4, he walks by. Peter didn't know who he was. In one instance, he says, follow me. One instance. It wasn't a long conversation, at least it is in the Gospels. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. And be honest, when the glory comes, it makes sense. He left everything he knew. Left everything. See, I don't believe the church is all in yet. Because when you're all in, you're sold out. You know, I remember when I was, you know, playing professional baseball. And I'm sitting there in spring training camp, my own business, just having a little time, you know, my own private time with God, and the Lord said, I want you to retire. I'm 20 years old. I wasn't going to make the team that year, but, they needed some extras in spring training. And I was good enough to be there, and it was with a team that was one of the best teams ever to play the game. And I had spent my entire life on a dream, and the moment God said that, everything changed. It's like, okay. Okay. And it's like, you want me to leave? I'll go. Wherever you go, I go. Whatever you want to do, I just have to follow the cloud. If you're moving, I'm moving. Lord, it may not make sense to anybody else. But when you experience the glory of God, it makes sense to you. I mean, think it. God reveals himself to Abram. And the first thing he says to him, I want you to leave your family, leave everything you know, and go to a place you don't even know where you're going. You know he experienced God because he was willing to do it. And I'm sure it didn't make sense to anybody else. See, if you've experienced the glory of God and other people haven't, they'll always think you're kind of weird. And you are. You're peculiar. You're very peculiar because you're carrying a presence that's not just natural, it's supernatural. I started thinking about all the times. I thought about Elijah and Elijah. You know, when Elijah was passing by Elijah and Elijah's just plowing with oxen in the field, he throws his mantle on him. When Elijah felt the glory, he ran after the man of God. And he said, hey, I'm going to follow you. But first, I got to go back and do one thing. And he went back and he literally burned his oxen. He said, I'm going to make sure there's no chance of me ever returning to the old way. See, I'll never return to presenceless church again. I won't. I won't return to dead religion. I won't return to certain things. I can't. Once I've tasted the goodness of God and the power of it, I'm not going back. I just can't go back. I've had too much to go back on. You know, you can't convince me that miracles don't happen because I've seen enough miracles in my life. You can't convince me that God's not real because He's real with me almost every day. And once you have experienced that, you chase after it. I mean, Obadiah, when the ark was in his house, the Ark of the Covenant represents the manifest presence of God. They said the whole house was blessed. Well, I found out when you're carrying the manifest presence of God, wherever you go, they're blessed. Whatever company I work for is blessed. Come on. Places my son works for one of the most ungodly companies in the world, but it's the richest company in the world because he's there. They're blessed because of him. Some of them know it now. Come on. If he leaves, the blessing goes. You know, we carry something. See, when the ark moves, you move. When the cloud moves, you move. You chase the glory. You chase it. You chase it down. Just because you've found God, don't ever stop chasing Him, because the moment you stop chasing Him, you will end up not being where He is. You may be where He was, but you're not where He is. Come on. Because what used to be alive many times turns dead because it was where God was instead of where He is. Every denomination started as a move of God. And then people build a monument to it. So they started worshiping what God did instead of the God who did it. And they begin to work it, to worship the method and not the presence. Come on. And what happens is it starts as a move of God where it was fresh and it was wall-to-wall God. It becomes a monument that still has some residue on it. And eventually it becomes a mortuary where dead people live. Because if you don't hang around God, you're not hanging around life. I don't want to be guilty. We see Obadiah, when David realized, hey, he's being blessed by this, I'm going to go get the ark. As soon as he got the ark, you know what Obadiah did? He moved. He said, he's actually a gatekeeper where the ark was kept. He told his whole family, if the ark's going, I'm going. If the ark's going, we're moving. We are moving. Wherever we have to move, we're going to move. In him we live, we move, we have our being. God's on the move, and if we don't move, we're going to become farther and farther away. Come on. This is okay. Several years ago, I preached a meeting called the Ohio Outpouring. You know, it was not one of my mega churches, but it was a mega meeting in some ways, because it was a church that ran about 100 on Sunday morning, and we were believing for 156 first-time decisions for Christ in that week. Now, when a church is running 156 first-time decisions is a big deal, and we set up a 650-seat tent in an open field. And the pastor there, God spoke to him and said, I want you to build a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. So he built, as a prophetic thing, a replica of the Ark of the Covenant, and he was literally going to have the elders carry it under the tent of meeting. Again, a prophetic symbol. Well, when I had the meeting there, I know a lot of wild people. That may surprise you. But a lot of my people are just different. Well, I had the head of the Outlaws, which is the Hells Angels, and the Outlaws are the two major biker gangs in America. But I know the chaplain of the Outlaws. So he shows up to my meeting. He's called Lil Wolf. What a nice name, Lil Wolf. He earned the name, by the way, over the years. Wasn't always saved. But, you know, he does all the marrying and burying for the Outlaws. Well, he shows up with another saved biker and two of the meanest looking dudes I ever seen in my life. Not saved at all. So they come to the meeting. Well, here we're about ready to start the meeting. And pastor comes over to me and says, "This is the weirdest thing I ever heard from God." But he said, God told me, have the outlaws carry the ark. Of course, I love it, because anything that's not scripted, you know, anything out of the norm, even if it's cray-cray, I at least like trying things. It always makes good stories no matter what. So I told the pastor, I said, "Hey, I want the two saved bikers in the back, but I want those mean people in the front. I want to see this firsthand." And I'll never forget, here they are, and they're leading the procession into the tent. As soon as they hit the carpet under the tent, that's the first time they entered the tent, the two men in the front collapsed and starts crying out for mercy. So that moment, we got our first two of that week, born again. And literally, you saw God literally melt the hardest heart. That's what his presence does. Look at Paul. I mean, he was Saul. He was persecuting the church. He hated the church. But one encounter with the glory of God it blew the S right off of him. He got the P instead. It went from Saul to Paul. And he literally, honestly, became a great apostle because of the glory. One moment. Let me show you again how this works, because I want you hungry. I don't know about you. I want to see God invade places. You know, our home church, we're exploding. It's good. We've had an extra couple of services during COVID. You know, we feed about 3,000 people a week on our property. We have a medical clinic. We have a dental clinic. We have a clinic for that basic car clinic for single moms. So we take care of that. We're in the process. We bought the building next to us, paid cash for it, and we're going to start trade school there. I mean, we're way outside the box. You know, we're not as outside the box as my son's church is. They just bought an $80 million facility and paid cash. You know. But right in the middle of the pandemic, where they weren't allowed to meet in California, they started doing their open-air protests. They were having close to 50,000 people showing up. Crazy. Crazy. Pastor said, you know, we were averaging about 80 people born again a week, because they were being in revival for a while. And he said, as soon as we had the pandemic hit, we averaged 150 a week. Yeah, you can't stop the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Come on now. The church cannot be defeated. So we see the situation. Let me show you again how this works, because when I was a youth pastor in Tulsa, I started a Bible study in every high school in Tulsa. I mean, most people hear this because I tell a lot. Because in 2 years' time, we saw 7,000 teenagers born again in 2 years. 7,000. That's freaky. I asked the church, I said, can we get a dunking machine? That baptism got old, man. You know, I just want to have a machine. Give a testimony, push a button. Maybe a dunking machine. You know, that. Yeah, those things will work. You can raise money, you know. You know. But in the midst of that, I got this All-American football player born again. And he was the number one prospect in America that year. And he was at Booker T. Washington High School. And he would go to my Bible study for about three months. He was born again for 3 months. And one day I get a phone call from the principal. And the principal's crying. And I'm hearing wailing in the background. So the first thing that went through my mind is someone got shot on campus. Because he said, you got to get to the school now. You got to get to the school. now. I said, what's going on? He said, I think Jesus just took over our school. That's a public school. This kid was walking down the hallway. The Spirit of God came on him. And he told me, he said, I felt this urge to start screaming, Jesus saved my school. Jesus saved my school. And he said, you know, he said, before I even thought about it, because I knew it could get in trouble if I had thought about it, I started just yelling, Jesus saved my school. The moment he started yelling, Jesus saved my school, there are three floors there. Weeping broke out in every classroom simultaneously. The presence of God just swept in. So I literally had a three-day assembly there in the public high school explaining what Jesus was doing on the public school system right there. He took over the school. Because Jesus doesn't come in to fit in. Comes in to take over. That's what lordship means. Come on, he doesn't come in to be a little part of something. He comes in to lead it. Come on. He comes in to be the center of attention on the thing. You know, he doesn't kind of visit and sit in the back. If you don't celebrate him, he doesn't go where he's tolerated. He goes where he's celebrated. Come on now. If you don't make him the center of attention, he said, I can't show you my glory. I can't show you. But we feel like Moses, show me your glory. That's what I've been crying out. God, show me your glory. And the moment his glory shows up, everyone sees his goodness. When I was a youth pastor, and we're going to close pretty soon, we had one of the toughest girls, notorious sinner. I mean, you know, proud about her sin life. And I mean, I tried to change her every way possible, every way. I mean, I preached against stuff. I wanted to beat her over the head. I mean, and she was nice, but she was, you know, she was frustrating to me because I knew she was destroying her life. And I'll never forget the night it changed. It changed. My wife gave the sweetest little prophecy. Sweetest thing I ever heard. I mean, and really, it was one of those that, you know, didn't seem like it had substance. That's not knocking it. There's some nice ones. My child, I love you, 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 I love you. Well, that's nice. You know, yeah, he does love us. And, you know, it was more like that. I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. And all, I mean, it's the sweetest thing. And I'm thinking, this is really nice. And, you know, at the same time, I'm thinking my wife is usually even more direct than that. I thought, this is kind of light for her. Well, this girl starts breaking out weeping. And, you know, after the prophecy got over, she stands up and says, the guy says all that. Said, just like Pam prophesied, we all need to repent. I thought, what did she hear? What did she hear? There was nothing in there. But the goodness of God leads people to repentance. Come on now. And see what she heard, what God was translating. And that's why when the glory's in, you don't always hear what the preacher's saying. You know, sometimes I feel like I don't listen to you. I listen to him. Come on now. And that's okay. I'll preach. As soon as I hit something, I know people's minds are going off in a direction, and they'll get the rest of it, watch it online or something like that. But they came here to hear from God. And once it does, that's all you need to do. You get in his presence. One word from heaven. One word in the glory. One word in the glory will change your life forever. All of a sudden, a light turns on. I believe God's about ready to turn some lights on. I believe that. I believe many of us are stuck because the light's off. At least the areas we're stuck. I mean, I remember, you know, our house, we've always been moving. In fact, now we have two houses, so you know. And they're both cluttered right now. Because we're still doing work on both of them. But a lot of times I come home from a trip and my wife is an organizer. Well, she reorganizes. Sometimes she doesn't tell me she reorganizes. I remember one time I came in and I, you know, the light's off, and I know my room. All my rooms I know by heart. So I'm just going to make the little track to the bathroom, not knowing that things have been moved. And then you go and you hit something, and you do that little dance of joy. You find out how sanctified you really are. And you know, then I turned the light on, and I realized if the light was on, I never would hit it. Most of the areas we hit in our life is because the lights were off. Come on. Because if we could have sidestepped if the light was turned on. And I believe God wants to give us some more light. Come on. The entrance of His Word brings light. We can sidestep a lot of the attacks, not every attack. Some attacks you just have to go through. But you go through victorious. And you make it to the other side. And you come out the other side lacking nothing. But whether you can move the mountain by speaking to it or you have to climb it, you're still going to the other side. Come on. You know, you don't always have to walk on the water, but if Jesus had, the reason why Jesus walked on the water is His disciples had the boat. He wasn't showing off. I don't think, people think, well, He's just so spiritual. No, they had the boat. He had to go to the other side. They had the boat. So He said, okay, Father, I usually don't do this, but we're going to tap into this. And right in the middle of the storm, He's just walking right by them. And they got the boat. They ain't going nowhere. Some of you, your boat ain't going nowhere because Jesus is on the water. So you have to get out of the boat to actually go somewhere and meet Jesus. Come on. So stop hugging the boat. You know, bunch of boat huggers. Well, we're going to just play it safe. No, you're not. You're on the Titanic if Jesus ain't on it. You ain't playing it safe. I ain't going down with the ship. I ain't going down, but I ain't going down with the ship. That's the way people. You get around Him, it's fun, man. It's fun. And if it's not fun, later on when you look back, it was fun. Sometimes it's count all joy or it's joy. Either way, fun. You don't let the devil steal your joy. You're carrying the glory of God. This is a new season. Don't worry about the shaking. You got a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know, you can be the stable ones in the midst of all sorts of shaking. You can be the happy ones when many times people are looking at you and they say, you shouldn't be happy. You know? Because they're looking and say, same storm seeing us that's seeing you, but you're reacting differently. They're crying, and I'm dancing. They have a pity party, I'm just throwing a different type of party. You know, they drink, I drink. I just drink something different. This is a new day. The glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God. We're waking up to our sonship. We're waking up to our sonship. That's where the glory is. The glory is in the Son. And I want you to say that. The glory is in your relationship with the Father. It's a Father relationship where the glory, that's part of your inheritance. Part of your inheritance is the same glory, the same glory, the same glory. Why did Jesus have the glory? He was a Son. Why do you have the same glory? You are a Son. The same glory the Father gave Him, He gives the same glory. Glory to all His kids. The same glory. Come on. Wow. If you understand that, you'll make history. And if you don't understand that, you'll be history. True. Just true. I'm ready for this. Some of you, if you have sickness in your body, it's for the glory of God. It's not something that gives God glory. The glory removes it. If you, wherever there's a deficit in your life, God fills it with his glory. You know, and to be honest with you, you can't get enough. You can't get, because you go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. See, most of you, where you are today is based on the glory you received sometime back. So you're able to grow to this point. But you'll never grow beyond the glory you have. Well, behind the revelation of the glory you have. Because, you know, you got the fullness. But you don't have a revelation of the fullness. Come on. Is this okay? How many of you tonight say, I want, I'm ready. I'm ready to be part of the answer. I'm ready for the glory of God. I want to pray for people tonight. I want to pray for an army tonight. I want to pray for us to all. I want to pray that God will convince you without a shadow of doubt that you're his child and fully, fully capable of receiving your entire inheritance. See, a lot of people, they think inheritance is given based on performance. Yeah, it is, but on the performance of the one that provided it. Not on yours. You know, when anyone gets an inheritance, it's someone else had to work for. That's why Jesus said, you're coming to a place where you're entering into other people's labors. That's inheritance. That's inheritance. You can live a lot higher level because someone else paid the price for it. Jesus paid the ultimate price for it. And yet we've settled for such a low level. You don't have to pay for it. He already did. You don't have to strain. You just have to believe. Yield to God and you'll yield to more fruit. So if you want prayer, I want to pray for you right now. Come on up. Come on up. That's why I'm here. You know, I got all these different notes. I told God tonight, I said, the Lord told me, you ain't going to use most of those. You know. Honestly, when I did the documentary, the guy told me, he said, well, we're going to do this. I said, well, what questions? He said, why don't you just come and flow? So I kind of like that at times. And that doesn't mean you're unprepared. It just means, you know, I'm not prepared. I'm prepared my heart. I used to prepare sermons, now I just prepare my heart. And because, you know, someone asked Jack Hayford one time, said, how many hours a week does it take you to prepare a sermon? He said, it used to take 40 hours. And he said, now, he said, it takes me 55 years. He said, I've been preaching for 55 years. I have all this reservoir on the inside of me. Anytime God speaks to me, he said, I just wait for him to speak to me because I have all these different streams already on the inside of me. And the moment it does, I'm able to put things together so quickly now because I have all these years. So all I have to know is what flow he wants to be in. And now I don't even have to totally study the flow. Come on, I just need a tap. Lift your hands up towards heaven. Thank him for the glory, the manifest presence of God. Thank him, thank him, thank him for breakthroughs. Because this is a season of breakthrough. There's the anointing and the glory of God all over you. That's God's anointing. That's God's power. That's who you are. It's already yours. It's a done deal. So many of you need to see it as a done deal. God did it. It's your deal. Some things are just moving. They're moving fast. Watch what God will do. We're entering into a new glorious chapter. That's what it is. A new glorious chapter. a new glorious chapter. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Everything's becoming fresh. Some of you are going to get your health back. Some of you are going to get your strength back. Some of you are going to get such a fire on the inside of you, it won't be quenched. What you need is in His presence. See, God gave you a portion. He said, go get it, come get it, come get it, come get your portion. And He said, you're going to delight in the portion I gave you. God is not chintzy on the portions. You can get as much as you want. In fact, He said, I'll give you way too much, way too much, way too much, way too much. There's the glory of God right there. What's been held up, about ready to be released. What's been held up? Delay doesn't mean deny. So a lot of people, they feel like they've been denied, but it's just been delayed. Because God said, there's the glory of God. Because God said. And He said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I'm watching over my word. And many of you, He's just letting you know, He's not done with you. He's just begun. Sometimes He's done on the old level, but He's working on a new level. And He's inviting you up there, up there, up there, up there, up there, up there. Some of you are catching the healing. Some of you are catching the miracle. Some of you, you realize that you're alive on purpose. Come on now, for a purpose. And we're never too young. We're never too old. God told me this last day's revival. He's using all ages, all ages, all ages, all ages. This morning I was preaching at a church and they changed pastors. The pastor is 27. One of the younger pastors I deal with now. And you know, fireball, anointed. Love it. But you know, I love a seasoned people too. Because we all bring something. And you're bringing the anointing and the glory of God like never before. And what God promised, He will perform. There's a reason you're still in the race. So you might as well win. There's a reason. There's a reason why God wouldn't release you. Because there's still something left. Come on. And He said, I'm going to begin to deposit more in you so you can deposit more in this area, declares the Lord. And you're going to recognize my presence is going to jump all over things. And you'll know when all of a sudden everything's being transferred. You'll see it. You'll see my glory. People catching my glory. And when it's built, you'll be released to a different level. You'll see it. There's still things to be done. He's not finished with this area. He's not finished with you. In fact, the reason you're still here is He's not finished with the area. Come on. You've got to see that. You've got to see that. You know, I don't need to do what I do anymore in the natural. I don't. Been a while. Been a while. But I can't let go of what I've seen. You know, never was in it for what it would do for me. Never. And I've been a blessed man. But I'm in a situation now where honestly, almost everything we're doing is just going out. I got other streams coming in. You know, and God keeps giving me the desires of my heart. I want to go back to Alaska. but I didn't have the contact I used to have there. So, you know, I came to one of the big conference I do with Jesse every year is at this church, and their son is in his 20s, and he said, well, we're going to Nome, Alaska. I said, really? I said, I'm going to support you big time, and then I'm going to come visit you. Well, they already contacted me. I'm going to do a major conference, and one of the biggest conferences in Alaska next year. That was my heart's desire. I want the Eskimos. Give me the Eskimos. Give me the drunk Eskimos. I love the drunk. That drunk Eskimos love Woody. They do that. They come every night with their alcohol and they leave it on the altar. It's their offering. Next night, it's still like 30 below. They'll come back in. Most of them still have the alcohol coming in. It heats them up. But every year we see more and more don't need it anymore. See, the God is doing a fresh thing. He's doing a fresh thing. There's a freshness going to come. There's times of refreshing from the presence of God. You might as well just get excited. Because God is so wild about you. And he's wild about the things you do to help others. That's a God thing. It's always been a God thing. And it's a super connected. And you're going to begin to understand even more being a son and a daughter of God, being the daughter of God, the favor you have. Because your favor is going to help you rescue lives that are hurting. Kind of a little bit like an Esther type of situation. You got the king's favor and the king's ear, and there's a people that without your help will perish. So we release that anointing now in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the heartbeat of God, by the way. It's the most biggest privilege there is. To rescue lives is the biggest privilege there is. And many times we rescue them because we know what it's like to feel hurt. That's why we're a rescuer. So even your scars are working for you. And honestly, in helping, you've been healing. That's the neatest part. That's what I love about God. What he does for us, he makes us an authorized dealer of. So he shows us mercy, we're able to give mercy. When he heals our wounds, we're able to heal others who have similar wounds. And you know what? They trust us. Because they know we've been in their shoes. That's why they trust us. That's why. That's why gang members like me. I've been in their shoes. You know? This is a new season. The anointing, the glory of God. The glory of God's going to take care of everything. The glory of God is going to take care of everything. This is a fresh season of a manifestation and a revelation of the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. That glory is all over you for such a time as this. That glory is literally touching every part from the top of your head to the bottom of your... It's quickening you and it's jumping in your spirit. It's energizing you in Jesus' name. You know, there are people in here, you have felt exhausted, but you're about ready to get a fresh wind from heaven, like a second wind. You know, I went through a period of time, and the Lord told me, he said, there are going to be times you're going to get up and you're going to feel totally exhausted, and then I'm going to come in and the glory is going to hit the place like never before. And it helped me because I thought, man, I'm so tired. What am I doing? I'm just so tired. And as soon as I get up there, you know, and the Lord said, you know, he said, that's only going to happen for a season, but you're going to know. You're going to know it's not you. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. He said, it's because sometimes I've done things because I'm just energetic. You know, So in some ways, it's like, oh, I'm so and I went through a season where there was no energy. But God was doing miracle after miracle after miracle showing up. He said, because it's no longer you, it's me. But we're about ready to catch. There's a healing flow coming. Well, you know, why do you think everything's been released with sickness and disease worldwide? Because there's a healing thing. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God answers. When the enemy comes in, there's a counterpunch. And the greatest healing revival the world has ever known is about ready to hit worldwide. You know, Brother Roberts says he saw healing coming back. Worldwide, healing. Big time. He said healing's coming back big time. Well, healing is beginning to flow. And it's amazing how much God has brought you through. What wasn't, what most people said wasn't possible is now possible. Not only is it possible, a lot of it's your reality. And the rest is on its way. You see, people will see the restoration power of God. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to work it for you, not against you. See, we go through seasons where all we can do is hang on to him. But when we come out, he said, you come out lacking nothing. Nothing. I sense that. I sense the glory coming all in. It turns your mourning into dancing. You know, it's like, okay, God. He said, the best is yet to come. The best. Sometimes God will save the best wine for last. Sometimes, once you get to my age bracket, you think it's the last chapters. Where before it was like, you know, hey. You know, but I really believe that. I believe the I believe this generation is going to see things no one else has seen. I believe it. I believe the whole, all of heaven wishes they could have been alive now. Right in the middle of all this stuff going on, they know what's coming. They know. See, they already have a picture of what's coming. So they're saying, these guys don't have, they're clueless. God, why are you using them? They're clueless. He said, you were clueless too, Mo. You're in the backside of the wilderness. You don't think that's clueless? Come on. It's a new season. You're made for the presence of God. You're made. I'll tell you something. His presence is all over you. The favor of God is all over you. You might as well get excited. He melts your heart with his goodness. He strengthens you, and he heals you inside and out in Jesus' name. I love it when we get healed up. I love it. I love it when you look in the mirror and you're back. Come on. And you realize, I like me now. And that's what God will do. He reintroduces us to us, and he honestly tells us how amazing we are because he made us. There's a beauty in that. He's working on your behalf. I know you can sense. How much you got something tonight? I enjoyed teaching this stuff. I didn't know what was going to happen tonight. I enjoyed it. I really liked the sonship thing. I'm going to have to listen to it. But thank you, Pastor.